Place it comfortably, everyone. So good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone on Zoom. I always like to make these talks relevant to our life now, living where we live in the 21st century, rather than, you know, something to do with 16th century Japan or 5th century China, and to make it relevant to our lives now. And I'd like to continue on the theme that I started with last week, which was about, for those of you who weren't here or didn't hear it, it was about the level of violence that we hear about, the spate of violence that we hear in our community, particularly towards women, but not just women, the different minority groups and people generally. But it seems to be a theme. And as we all know, one of the core values of Buddhism and Zen is non-violence, and resolving issues personally, or in more political ways and so on, from a position of non-violence. So on that topic, I came across an essay from last week that I'd like to share with you, which was in the Sydney Morning Herald, and it really resonated with me. And it's written by a well-known broadcaster and writer, and he's also an academic, Waleed Ali. Heard of him in the media? And the title of the talk, of the essay, and it's about violence towards women. It starts with a question: does it start with disrespect? And it says, despite the effort and goodwill of so many, we might be missing the root cause of men's violence towards women. And he goes on to say a lot of prevailing views about gender inequality and so on said never really resonated with him. And he said, that's because my academic work was studying the roots of violence. He did a PhD in it, where research overwhelmingly, he says, where research overwhelmingly identifies factors such as humiliation, shame and guilt as motivating drivers, not a lack of respect. When respect is mentioned at all, it isn't about the perpetrator disrespecting the victim. It's more about the perpetrator feeling someone has disrespected them. Thus, could James Gilligan, a prison psychiatrist working with America's most violent men for 35 years, concluded he was yet to see a serious act of violence that was not provoked by the experience of feeling shame or feeling shamed or humiliated, disrespected and ridiculed. Gilligan's language is strikingly absolute and direct. The most dangerous men on earth are those who are afraid of being wimps. And he goes on to say that it seems to be more than just a gender issue, because there's a high rate of domestic violence, or an equally high rate of domestic violence, in same-sex relationships. And also that when you look at the Nordic countries, like Denmark, Sweden, Iceland, Norway, etc., which are the most gender-equal countries in the world, they still have very high rates of domestic violence. And in Iceland in particular, which is considered to be the most gender-equal country in the world, has one of the highest rates of domestic violence in Europe. So it's questioning a lot of standard ways that we look at this, but the psychology of it, the research of it, would indicate that what are the triggers to violence is this sense of someone feeling humiliated or disrespected. Now, to look into that doesn't mean because someone perceives themselves as being ridiculed or disrespected that they actually are. It's more that they feel that they are, or they perceive that they are. So it's not using this as an excuse or anything. It's just trying to understand where it comes from. So, for example, a man might ask a woman out on a date and she says no. So she's got every right to say no, but a man with a very fragile sense of their own self takes it as a rejection, as a disrespect or ridiculing, and it triggers off a violent reaction in them. Or even a man wanting to have sex with a woman, she says no, which you've got every right to do. It may trigger off something in them that's very, very fragile that then leads to violence. So it's not saying this is an excuse for men's violence or anyone's violence, but the research seems to indicate that this is the trigger behind violence occurring. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is not just as a theoretical discourse, you know, about understanding violence, but how does it relate to our Zen practice, and how does it relate to us individually? Because if our value system is based on not only non-violence, but also encouraging others to be non-violent as well, then it goes to the heart of what our practice is. And what the question is for me, or the question that I'm presenting to everyone else, is regardless of whether we're physically violent or whatever, which is probably not the case with people here, but nevertheless, everyone is aggressive or violent to some degree. We've all said something disrespectful to others, or in our language or whatever, or made other people feel bad at some point in our life. And what is the trigger within us that leads to that occurring? And it resonates with me that the idea of feeling disrespected, humiliated, ridiculed or whatever is often the trigger, or a sense of injustice is often the trigger to people being violent. So if there is some truth in that, and we look into that within ourselves, within our meditation practice, and see whether there's any resonance of that within us, then our practice is to be able to witness that and acknowledge that when it's actually happening. So if something happens in our life, whether we are actually being disrespected or ridiculed, or we just perceive that we are, even though there may not be a basis to it, and we see the trigger in ourselves, our first point of contact with practice is to stay with it, right? To witness it and to stay with it, and to stay with what that experience is in the body in particular. And if we can recognize it, like you do through thought labeling, if you could recognize it and stay with it and even name it, instead of immediately reacting out of that into anger or verbal abuse or whatever, then you've got a way of working with it. Mm-hmm. If you just simply are blaming others for making you feel like that rather than staying with your own experience, well, that will probably lead to violence. And if you just spiral down and ruminate and think about it, that might lead to all sorts of psychological problems as well, even suicide, right? But if your practice is simply to stay with those unpleasant feelings, very intense unpleasant feelings, stay with them, as a lot of our sutras point us towards, mm-hmm, then something starts to dissolve eventually. Maybe not straight away, might be really painful to stay with. But if you just witness it and stay with it, then something dissolves, and actually the ego dissolves, right? And our ego is not so brittle that we have this reactivity, you know, to everything in our life all the time. So it really does resonate with Zen practice, as far as my understanding of it is concerned, for all of us, whether we are violent or not, we're all capable of it. And this is one of the keys to working with it. is to see exactly where the trigger comes from, what it triggers off, staying with it in a non-judgmental way but not acting on it, and then seeing how it actually can dissolve the ego rather than make it bigger. And when we come back, finally, when we come back to the precepts as a part of Zen training and an important part of it, one of the first things to really recognize in taking up the precepts is first and foremost, they are a statement of restraint. That's why they're traditionally worded in the negative. No killing, no stealing, no lying, etc. It's kind of like kind of saying, commit to not doing it. Right? And you're putting those behavioural strengths in place. Now that in itself is not enough. They're just the guardrails, right? And then putting those guardrails in place and committing not to do those things, then you do the inner work of witnessing, you know, and witnessing how you can potentially be violent or lie or whatever it might be, and you stay with it in a non-judgmental way. You acknowledge, and you do that long enough, and what happens? You spontaneously do good things. Mm-hmm. Out of that, that's the paradox that comes out of it. You don't try to be good. It's out of doing that, you spontaneously, your true nature arises, and you spontaneously are compassionate. You can spontaneously do acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. You spontaneously love. So that's in practice in a nutshell.